What's up, crew? We are live on a Thursday night. Time to hashtag talk nerdy. This is the CloverTac Podcast Studio. I get the studio and the lounge mixed up occasionally. This is studio. And interestingly enough, we're sort of podcasting. And tonight we're going to talk about podcasting. So for those that are in replay or maybe early joining us in the live chat, welcome, welcome, welcome. It is January 28th. I just realized today I need to either probably tomorrow. Can't do it today, but just realized 28, I can file my taxes, actually. So I've been waiting on that. Wasn't able to do it for whatever reason with my software until the 28th, it said. But, yeah, didn't realize that till just now. yeah, I got to talk about podcasting a little bit. We always do these. On Thursday evenings, we do them live. Folks out there in the live chat on the YouTube side are able to participate. I did drop the Discord link because here, thanks very much to the Patreon patrons, I was able to get an adapter that I needed to finally hook up my monitor. So I got dual screens going here, and I'm able to see the YouTube live chat, the Cloverfield Discord server, and we are in the hashtag talk nerdy channel over there. So if you prefer to chat via Discord, well, there you go. Jump over there and yeah, and chat. So Ghost brought this up yesterday or a couple days ago about podcasting, and we talked about this once before, and unfortunately that video, that live stream was deleted by YouTube, and they said it was spamming, scamming, or promoting deceptive practices. So for the algorithms out there and the YouTube bots, of course, now I've got friends in low places with YouTube, so that likely would not happen at this point. Plus, I don't monetize these or anything anyway, so they don't draw a lot of attention. But yeah, for the algorithms that might be listening, we're doing nothing of the sort here. We are all content creators. We're talking about podcasting. We're talking about our own content. So I just want to put that frame of reference around everything fairly early here, a couple of minutes in. I don't want any problems. So yeah, if you're out there, if you already do content, create content, if you do videos, if you do live streams, all the better, even that much easier. I see Alaskan Ballistics out there. I know for a fact he does live stream, so probably should be listening in and taking his live streams and doing what we're about to talk about. But yeah, a lot of different ways we can do it. We're going to talk about the equipment. That's one of the hangups. You'll get people that will give you a big long list of $1,000, $1,500 worth of equipment, and it does not take that. We're going to talk about software, which is some of the different options, things you can use. We're going to talk about the hosting, and we'll get into and elaborate that more a little bit later on. And then finally, what good is putting out a podcast if you can't get it out there in the world and reach everybody? So distribution is another thing we'll talk about. So we've got a pretty decent panel here. And so by all means out there in the live chat or in the replay, you could always use in a replay the comments down below wherever you might be watching or listening. And then in live chat, if you have questions on the nerd persuasion, it does not really have to pertain to podcasting, but if they are pertaining to podcasting, all the better. So let's bring the panel in. We'll jump in. We'll get started here, and this might be a fairly short, sweet one. We've got Rogue in the house with us this week. What's up, bro?
Not much, man. It's the past week has been like Christmas here. I've been getting all kinds of new goodies and toys and all kinds of stuff to play with. So you know, it's just living the life right now.
Yeah. One of my most favorite tunes to come on is Joe Walsh, Life's Been Good. So,
oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, when I get stuff in, that's usually what's playing in my head. Budget is with us. The BGGR. What's up, bro?
Not much. Just hanging out. Not didn't have to work today, so I figured I'd come hang out with you guys. Talk about this podcast and stuff.
Yep. Now, are you doing any podcasting?
Yeah, I, although I'm behind on getting my stuff out there, but I do have the Right of the People, my weekly live stream, going out as a podcast.
Nice.
Using Podbean as my hosting and whatnot, but I'm sure we'll get into that later.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the ghostest with the mostest in the house. What's up, bro?
Oh, nothing. I just got my membership card to the Hipster Union today. So,
heck yeah.
Life is good, you know?
Yeah, with that hair, you should.
Lord. All right. So let's dive into this. And we're going to talk equipment. And it's pretty easy to talk equipment because I'm using it right now. So pretty easy to talk about. And we'll run this one through the room and just get everybody's thoughts. You know, once upon a time, I'm going to talk about, I guess, right off the bat, I'm going to talk about what I started with, what I once used, some things that I used to use, not what I'm currently using. We'll run it through the room when it comes back to me. If people haven't hit on some of those other things, you know, the newer stuff that I've got, then, yeah, I'll mention those. But many moons ago, I started out, I believe it was a Friday, live that went into podcasting. The podcasting world is what happened. And with that, there was no guests. At least I say there's no guests. There were guests, but back then we were using Google Hangout, right? So there was no guest in the sense of like an interview type setting, for the most part. But as far as the microphone, I used an old crummy laptop, used an old crummy webcam. Of course, we're talking more audio podcast with this. And the microphone I used, I want to say, trying to think what that was now. I can remember it was an ATR 1100. Audio Technica, I want to say. And it was literally like you would see at a concert in a church. one of those settings. It was literally a microphone you would like you would sing into. And for the longest, I used that. And that was pretty much it. And with YouTube, and I think this might have been where we got in trouble with the channel strikes. As a content creator, you can download your own content. You own that content. You have all rights to that content. And if you don't believe me, use somebody else's content. See how quick you get a copyright claim, right? So, you know, if you've got production software that you use already to edit video and do that type of stuff, odds are it can rip the audio. It can do a conversion. And then all you have to do, of course, is upload that. We're going to get into the particulars of it. But, yeah, like a $15 microphone, literally, is what I started out with. And that was pretty much it. Using an old crappy laptop, but nowadays you could even use the voice recorder, you know, any number of things on your phone, so you wouldn't even necessarily have to have, a lot of people podcast from their phone nowadays, you wouldn't even have to have that. Budget going to bring you in with equipment, with the gear that we use, can use for podcasting. What are some of your thoughts?
Using right now?
It doesn't have to be.
Well, I started out with matter of fact, I still have it somewhere. This microphone, the cheapy Fifine, whatever. It's an Amazon cardioid mic. It works. I upgraded to a used Blue Yeti that I found at the pawn shop, but it died on me. So yeah, I had to move to some other stuff. I ended up buying this mic, which is a Hainer Seek. Again, it's an Amazon thing. It works pretty well. But the interesting thing about this is it came with this little sound card type mixer thing that you know, has different settings and whatnot that you can alter stuff. And I'm not going to go into all that, but I use a different microphone with it now. Cause right now what I'm using is I just recently bought a Blink 500 by Saramonic, and I'm using the little lav mic that comes with it.
Nice.
Plugged into this sound card, tweaked the settings a little bit. And that's what I'm using as far as microphone wise. I use XSplit Broadcaster to run through it and then do my stream, right? XSplit Broadcaster has a function where you can record your broadcast as you're doing it. So I take that recording, put it into my video editing software, which is CyberLink PowerDirector, edit everything up, decouple the audio and the video, get rid of the video and just produce the audio. Then I upload that to Podbean. Mm-hmm. Seems somewhat complicated, and I guess it is, which is probably why I'm behind on it. But yeah, that's what I do.
Right. DJ out there throwing out some questions before we move on. Let's catch up with those, because he's saying condenser cardioid or hypercardioid. Good question. And with some of that, I don't even know what mine are. But as far as the pickup pattern, I would say cardioid, depending on your situation, right? I don't want, you know, 360 degrees with hypercardioid. You get some pickup from behind the microphone and that sort of stuff. And I don't necessarily like that. He also says pop screen or not to pop screen. And we'll get to what I'm currently using. But if you're using a microphone, an actual a Blue Yeti, or like the normal microphone I was talking about, I didn't have a pop filter. Caught a lot of flack because of that back in the day. And I think if you got that type of setup where you've got, you know, you're not running a headset or whatever, an open mic situation, pop filter, probably a good idea. Ghost, bring you in on some of the equipment that you use or have used or what you recommend.
When I first started out doing it, I basically used an old gaming headset that from Block. I think it's called Block Web. I think is what it's called. I love their stuff. They got a lot of different stuff, but I started out using that, and then I upgraded to a Blue Yeti, and then I have Blue Yeti Nano. Still have both of them, still like them. As far as a pop filter goes on the Yetis, real simple, real cheap, actually probably free. Get an old sock, especially a wool sock. And that's what I did. I got an old black wool sock and I put it over the top of the microphone and it worked beautifully as a pop filter. Mm-hmm. Ironically, when I built the studio here at the house and started doing my live streams here at the house, I started out using the Yeti again, and for some reason, one day it was, I don't know, maybe the cord, I think the cable was shorting out or something. It was weird. So I had to go back to the Black Web headset, and that show, everyone was saying, man, your audio sounds great. Your audio sounds great. And so after the show was over, I went back and listened, and it did. It sounded better using that $30 headset versus a $120 microphone. So I have been running on my podcasts and shows, I've been running a $30 Black Web gaming headset you could probably buy at Amazon or a Walmart or wherever. Mm. And that's what I use. But if you are looking for a cheap pop filter, an old wool sock, put that over the microphone and you're good to go.
Right. Now, DJ out there, he says the Yetis are USB, right? That is correct. And then yes. Kim Gabriel, where am I? Dude, if you don't know, we can't help you, bro. We've got, who was it? 45 ACP out there is talking about VLC media player. And we'll get to that if you're still out there, Papa, when we get to software. It's definitely something we want to talk about. But he says great for ripping audio. Totally agree, great for a lot of different things. He also says that the Blue Snowball is what he likes. So this dad says, what about live streams from mobile? He's still totally phone-based, but YouTube won't let you live stream with less than 1,000 subs from mobile. StreamYard is the answer to that, correct? Am I wrong with that?
And yes, you can run, set up and run a full StreamYard stream from your mobile phone now. Yes, you can.
Yes. Yeah. And that gets around that being able, because yeah, natively YouTube won't allow you to do it early. TRB, Mr. Rogue, jump in here. Equipment, podcasting equipment.
Well, since I don't host a podcast, but I'm on a lot of them just for my day job and then plus with you guys, I originally just started with some earbuds and they sounded terrible. and then I went, hey, you know, I do YouTube videos. So I started using, my voiceover mic was a toner mic. I just bought off of eBay for like $25. And then since then, I kind of graduated up to lav mics. And then exactly 2 hours old right now is my Saramonic Blink 500 Pro that I'm wearing tonight.
Oh, nice. Very nice. We had, who was it up here? Golly. I don't remember who it was talking about. They got a new microphone. And I can't find it in the live chat. So I did want to mention that. Dadnabbit. Whoever got the new microphone, maybe you might have to tell me again. And then we'll talk about it. It's one that I had never heard of. And I was going to ask the panel if you guys had heard of it. Dang it. Give me just a second here. Ah, I found it. That was Swap Dog Armories who it was. He said he decided on the Rockville RCM02. So anybody familiar with Rockville? Yeah, take that as a no. Yeah, me neither.
That would be a negative.
So, yeah, keep us posted on the Rockville and what you think about it. Yeah, I've never had any experience with it. Going back to me and what I use. So one thing that I did forget, yes, I found going from a microphone to a headset to be better. And I'll tell you why. For me. You got to pretty much have earbuds or headphones anyway. If you've got a guest, right? If you've got something you're having to listen to at the same time you talk. Now, if you're just doing a podcast where you're turning it on and you're just talking to yourself, you're talking to the audience out there, you're laying down whatever it is, right? You're just journaling, getting your thoughts out, right? Blogging, so to speak, or blogging, then not necessarily a big deal. But if you've got that back and forth going on, you're going to have headphones anyway. So if you got to have headphones, then why not go ahead and do the headset thing, right? And so what I went with was been a big fan of Sennheiser stuff for a long time. Sennheiser stuff is typically fairly expensive, but got a, basically it was a call center style headset. So really small headphone type thing and a real skinny boom. But
you mean the Britney Spears mic?
Kind of, yeah. But it was not very comfortable, put to you that way, which is the first thing, because it didn't cup, you know, my ears and all. So it pushed on my ears. So after a while, it would get to where it wasn't very comfortable. But as far as microphone and the noise canceling and other things, I'm literally 6 foot or so away from an AC unit right now. And so that Sennheiser, it pretty much cut all of that out. I did upgrade and go to, now I'm using the, it's a Sennheiser, but it is the, I believe the GSP 350 or the 350 GSP. And of course you can tell the audio quality on it. I think it's better than that other one, which it should. It costs three times as much, but enjoy the crap out of it. So for me, I prefer the headset boom mic, right? And honestly, microphone, headphones, as far as equipment, that's it. Now, nobody mentioned the mixer, and I know Ghost will probably mention it, and it's in the software portion, what we're going to talk about here in a little bit. But I did have, back when I was running that church microphone, it's what I call it, I did have a little three-channel mixer. It's was called a Just Mixer, J-U-S-T, Just Mixer, that I got off of Amazon. It was $40 or something like that. And it worked okay for a little while, but it got to where I had all kinds of weird, it would make Space Invader noises and things occasionally. And people would be like, what the crap was that? So that's when I was looking for a better option. And I looked into the Blue Yetis. I looked into, we got M. Gabriel out there talking about Shure. Shure is another good brand, S-H-U-R-E. He says, can you use a Shure mic for podcasting? Absolutely, you can. Shure is good stuff. Got to Poor Conservative. He's talking about Rockville, which Swamp Dog Armory brought up. He says Rockville makes stuff for musicians and music recording and monitoring. So that should be quality stuff for sure. Yeah. So what do we got here? Yeah, we were talking about mixers. So I know what Ghost is going to say, and we'll talk about the software versions. Do you have a mixer, Mike?
Not a physical mixer. I'm using software.
Cool. We'll talk about all that later. And Rogue, I'm guessing no on you with a hardware mixer.
Yeah, there's no reason for me to have one.
Got you. Yeah, I think it's just another complication. So let's table that for the software side of things. And with that, that's what we're going to move into. So we alluded to it a little bit just a second ago when we were talking about VLC Media Player. We were talking about editing software. We were talking about StreamYard. So let's talk a little bit. Again, I think the common consensus, headphone, microphone, you're good to go for a podcast. No need for $1,500 worth of equipment. Now, let's talk a little bit about software and the things you need as far as producing, right? So things that come to mind for me is editing software, if you're going to do it, capturing software, editing software, and then potentially mixing software, things like that. Ghost, we'll let you jump off with software here, talk a minute about some of the stuff you use or maybe have used in the past.
Okay, so for editing, I use CyberLink PowerDirector. I think it's 18 is what I'm using. And I do my video editing, but if I do a standalone podcast or, you know, all that, I can still, I use that for the audio as well. Let's see. Obviously, for my mixer, I've talked about this before, I use VoiceMeter Banana, and it's a free virtual mixer. It comes with a virtual, yeah, download a virtual cable, but it's a phenomenally strong piece of software that will allow you to do pretty much anything you want. I mean, you can distort voices. If you choose to do that, you can bring in outside video and audio to that through that mixer. You can control everything, and it is a free mixer, and it takes very little space to it doesn't take up a whole lot of processing power when it is running. So I love it. And the only other thing that I will use is sometimes Adobe, what is it? Adobe Audition. Mm-hmm. And what you can do with that is, especially if you're doing intros or and all that, they have a lot of presets. They have a podcasting preset, which kind of brings a little more bass into the voice or whatever. Or they have distorted stuff, like, you know, for intros and stuff like that, you know, like the old radio voices and Sunday and all that stuff. Audition works pretty well. But most of the time it's just, I use a software I use is VoiceMeter Banana for my mixer and the CyberLink PowerDirector 18 for all my editing.
Awesome. Defense Dad, he said, got a question out there. He says, if you use a headset, does it cut the background noise better than a mic? I have to shut the fridge and furnace off for videos now, and it's bad. And I replied to him in the chat, but I'm going to go ahead and say it here because we may have people in replay audio format that this is important. Again, right now, 6 foot in one direction is a heater. Now, it's not running at the moment. I just looked over there to see. And 6 foot in the other direction is a window AC unit. And the fan is running on the window AC unit. No, I'm not running the AC, but the fan is running on it. And I can hear it through my headset. In other words, I can I can hear it running. I don't know if you guys can hear it running. I don't think you can, but I can hear it, which is weird. So it does a really good job. These do at cutting all of that better than any microphones I've played with. And that's one of the reasons I like to use them. Again, got to have the headset anyway. If you're talking about having guests and things like that, TPC out there, makes up a great point. This kind of goes back into the hardware. I don't want to overlook it. But he was talking about using standard microphones, and needing that interface for your computer. If you do that, he was talking to M. Gabriel, but he says you can get a Behringer Euphoria. Yes, I did have looked into those before. A lot of folks use those. He said for under $100, it'll pipe all of that into your computer. Yes, it will. They also have some little mixer setups and stuff as well, hardware mixers. So yeah, don't want to discount that for sure. Rogue, gonna bring you in on the software side of things here.
Sure. I mean, for my video stuff, I just recently switched over to Final Cut Pro. So all my videos I'm doing for the channel are in that. But when I do voiceovers and pre-recorded podcasts for my day job, I actually use GarageBand because it's built into my Mac. And I just use that. And it's worked out really well for me.
Awesome. And that's it as far as software goes?
That's it.
Budget software.
Well, I think I pretty much already ran down that list. Except for the voice meter. I use voice meter to mix the sound. I use XSplit Broadcaster to get my little intros and go between my scenes and all that good stuff. And to record the thing, which I then put into my PowerDirector 365 and do what editing I want and then produce it as an audio file. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to add Audacity to that mix because for some reason, yep, my version of PowerDirector cannot produce things as an MP3. And you need to have an MP3, at least according to Podbean, you need to have it in MP3 format in order to get your stuff distributed via Spotify. So I want to start getting my stuff on Spotify. So I'm pretty sure I can use Audacity to turn the WAV file into an MP3, and then I can upload it to Podbean and go from there.
Right. Yes, you can. And Audacity is a great free software as well. It can do a lot. It's very powerful as well.
Yeah, I'm glad y'all brought up Audacity because nobody had, and I was like, I'm gonna have to bring that up. Kind of like VLC Media Player.
I just downloaded Audacity today. As a matter of fact, about an hour and a half ago.
Swamp Dog out there, he's saying that as far as software, After Effects, Premiere Pro, Audacity, VLC, Fruity Loops, and various converter programs, depending on which type of format he's outputting. So as software side of things, we didn't really talk about StreamYard much, and StreamYard's obviously one of them. I want to go back. I want to hit on VLC Media Player because even when you're talking about video format, VLC is a very powerful media player. It'll play pretty much anything, any video format out there. So VLC is a great tool to have for sure. And Audacity, great tool to have for sure. So those are staples on my laptop, on my computers that I use. The MOV AVI software, editing software that I had to get when I got this new laptop, it came with a converter. It's got a converter portion of the software that'll pretty much convert one format into any other format you want to convert. And so what I use typically is StreamYard, and I'll go with, you're talking about a pre-recorded podcast, I will fire up an unlisted StreamYard, record that. Obviously it records it to YouTube. And then I'll go into my Creator Studio. Again, we're talking about the creator doing this. We'll go into the Creator Studio, download that, convert it, edit it, and then upload it to our pod, you know, a podcasting host, which is, we're going to talk about hosting in a second. So if you're not familiar with that, it's okay. We'll get you covered. There are a couple of other things that I have used in the past software wise, and probably will use in the future. One of them being, a conference, I guess you could call it, software called Zoom, teleconference software. What's cool about Zoom is if you've got a situation to where the person is not savvy with computers or tech or whatever, Zoom gives you the option to literally give, it works kind of like StreamYard does here or whatever, but it gives you the option of giving them a telephone number where they can literally call in with their cell phone or landline or whatever. And I found that beneficial for some folks that just can't get the technology down, right? So that's a guest thing, right? That's if you're if you was pre-recording or, you know, doing something like that. Doing it live like we are now and then taking it to audio podcast form, which is what a lot of people do, is really cool because we get you get the initial audience interaction with all you guys out there that are live. And then it's out there in replay world for everybody else to consume and enjoy and everything else on their own time. Or maybe they want to go back and listen to certain parts, especially with the chats like we have here. We cover a lot of ground sometimes. And that's important. I'm trying to think about other software that I use.
Can I bring up something about Zoom as well?
Yeah, go ahead.
The great thing about Zoom that I really like about Zoom, I don't use it anymore, but when I was using it for a while, what it also does audio-wise is it records, if you've got you and one other person in the podcast, it records both tracks separately.
Yes, it does.
Which is really cool.
Yes, it does. Poor Conservative is still throwing out some mic stuff. He says he likes his AT320. Yeah, so a lot of talk out there. DJ Play Nice says he used to use a Sennheiser MD441. But that's apparently $1,000 microphone. So if you got Daddy Warbucks funding your podcast endeavors, yeah, go ahead, I suppose. We covered everybody pretty much with software here, haven't we?
Yep.
Got sidetracked. I don't know if I missed anybody or not. So yeah, now let's talk about hosting, because we've got hosting and then we want to cover distribution as well. And it's two separate things. So yeah, you know, we've talked about the equipment. We've talked about the software that gets you gets it recorded, gets that audio file, whatever you need, then to, you know, upload or whatever. So now you've got to have hosting, right? And I have looked into multiple options. And if you're out there and you're looking for a freebie, I hate to tell you, not really going to happen. Not if you do podcast with any type of frequency. There is a free version of Podbean. I think everybody on here, the panel, has pretty much talked about Podbean. There is a free version, but you're very limited as to, you know, how much a month or whatever you can upload, right? So the unlimited on it, I think, is like $108 a year. So it's best to bite the bullet and just make that happen, because then you're unlimited. And not only are you unlimited, but we're going to talk about distribution, but then you've got all types of methods available to you as far as distribution of that podcast as well. So what a host does, and there are other hosts out there, but I found Podbean to be the cheapest and pretty doggone good anyway, as far as what it will natively distribute your podcast to. But yeah, you basically, if you've ever built a website, if you've ever ran an FTP server or done anything like that, same process. You log into a dashboard, you click upload your podcast, you browse, you find the file, it uploads it, you name it, you put a description, you do some tags, you do some other things. If you can do a video on YouTube, you can do a podcast on Podbean, put it to you that way. It's really, really that simple. And as far as distribution, which we will get to a little later, I don't want to mix the two. Podbean makes that easy as well. So yeah, as far as hosting, Podbean is mine. I think it's everybody else's, but I may have missed something important with Podbean or whatever. So Rogue, I'll let you start off with this one as far as hosting goes, and your thoughts on that.
Yeah, for me, since I don't do a podcast, and I'm pretty sure that at work they're using Podbean for theirs. So for me, it's mostly just doing the voiceovers and stuff like that, and it's up to somebody else to deal with all that stuff.
Right. Ghost.
Yeah, I tried when I first started out. I kind of got the old free trials for about 6 or 7 different hosting platforms. And when it came down to it, the ease of Podbean is where I stuck with. I want to real quick make sure that everyone understands when you're talking about Podbean or podcast hosting, those are platforms in themselves. People do go to Podbean to Correct. Listen to podcasts.
Or download the app.
Probably. Or download the app. But most people use other, and we'll talk about the distribution here in a second, but those are actual, you can go to that particular platform. It's not just a hosting. You can listen on that platform. So, but Podbean for me, like you said, it was the ease of it. It was the value that you get for the price. Yes, you're going to have to pay for it, but the value you're going to get by far exceeded every other platform that I tried out. So Podbean for me is gold.
Right. And, you know, I should mention too, I'm not set up for it. I haven't went through everything, but if you are paying for Podbean, there are certain monetization options and things that are yes, available. Sure. I know that's important to some people out there that may be podcasting. We may need to add another category, and I'm going to do that. So we're talking about the hosting now. Then we're going to talk about distribution. And then let's talk about monetization, because that might be, I'm going to add it in my show notes here. That might be something we need to talk about. So we'll put a pin in Podbean and the ad functions within, you know, that for now. We'll go to Budget, bring him in on hosting. Use Podbean. Podbean. Yeah, obviously.
Didn't bother with any of the free versions. I just went right to paying for it because it just makes the most sense.
Yeah. Anything we missed talking about it with, you know, that you've experienced or went through or whatever that needs to be said?
Nope. I think it's all been pretty much covered.
Okay, cool. Well, let's move into distribution now. I think the consensus is Podbean. And honestly, if you get out there and look, there's a lot of people in some other genres that use Anchor. There's some people that use Spreaker, and I forgot what platform Spreaker is tied to. I think maybe iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
But, and we'll talk about a little more of that with distribution. But it's expensive. Spreaker is. Good Lord. Now, 45 ACP says, what is hosting? I'm a little lost. Okay. We'll go back to that here in just a second. Anchor does a lot of stuff as far as mobile. So if you're out there, you use mobile only. You might look into Anchor as your host, as opposed to Podbean. And what I'm saying is if you record from your phone, you're doing editing from your phone, you're doing all of your podcast stuff from the phone, then Anchor, definitely you might want to look into that. I don't want to, we're not getting paid by Podbean or anything else. That just happens to be what we all, use. Now, 45 ACP, before we get to distribution, says, what is hosting? He's a little lost. Okay, so once you have your audio file, once you have recorded your audio for your podcast, or you converted your audio for your podcast, or whatever, your host is where you're going to upload that, right? Okay, YouTube is your video host, right? Okay, Podbean is your podcast host. Podbean is your audio, or whatever podcasting host you choose, right? That's your host. So it's, you've got your audio file ready to go, just the same as you would the video. You're going to upload that to then your podcasting host. And most podcasting hosts, as Ghost pointed out earlier, are also a platform in and of themselves, right? So keep that in mind as well. Just like YouTube, right? YouTube hosts our videos, but they also, you can go there and watch our videos. So same thing, just we're talking audio in the context of audio as opposed to video. And honestly, you could upload audio to YouTube if you so choose and put just pictures on the screen or whatever. Some of that stuff, depending on the topic and the niche, some of that stuff does pretty good. But here we're talking more about folks that already do live streams, that already do like a live podcast or something like this show on YouTube, being able to then distribute that, you know, download it, edit it, do everything through the studio, and then distribute that out to somewhere else because it's our content. We've created it. We have the right to do with it what we want to do with it. Now, Swamp Dog says, what was y'all mentioning about using it if you have less than 1,000 subs on YouTube? StreamYard. So if you want to go live on YouTube with less than 1,000 subscribers, you cannot use the native YouTube stuff. You need to, on mobile anyway, you can't use the native YouTube stuff, but you can use StreamYard. And that's what we're using here. DJ says, StreamYard barely rocks. Any other hosts on the horizon? Not that I am aware of, no. I was surprised that StreamYard come on and gain the popularity that it has, considering we knew for a solid freaking year that Google was going to drop Hangouts, and nobody seemed to step up. And I won't name names. But I think everybody here on this panel knows who I'm talking about. So, yeah, distribution. So, once you have uploaded to that host, right, and that host many or most times is going to be its own platform, that's cool because people can go there, they can download that app, whatever, and consume your podcast. But you're going to get what they call an RSS feed, right? RSS feed. And so what's going to happen is you're then able to take that RSS feed, and you're able to go to other podcasting platforms, create an account, and most of them it's free to create an account. Create an account and then input that RSS feed. And what that's going to do is that's going to allow, let's say my example here, I'm using Podbean. I upload this podcast to Podbean, right? Well, I've got all that set, and it's like, okay, now I want to go to pick one, XYZ. I'm going to just come up with a fake one, XYZ Podcasting, right? Wanted to go to XYZ Podcasting. Well, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to sign up. When I do, they've got a box there where I drop that RSS feed link, and then they will pull any podcast that I upload to Podbean. They will pull that automatically to that platform. Now, I would have to pull Podbean up to know for sure, but Podbean, you can actually, it has a distribution tab in your dashboard, and you can go in there, and it will walk you through the process. It'll say, hey, you need to sign up for this account on, let's say, Stitcher, let's say iTunes, let's say Google Podcasts, right? It'll say, click here to create an account. It'll say, click here to copy your RSS feed. It'll walk you through a lot of different platforms, but it doesn't cover near the podcast platforms that are out there. So it's important to realize what that RSS feed is. That's basically a link that allows, heck, you can even drop that link on your website. Let's say you have a website and you want to pull your podcast feed to your website. We've talked about WordPress. I think we just did that last week. There are options within WordPress literally to drop that RSS feed link to your podcast onto your website.
Yeah, mine pulls the last 10 podcasts automatically.
Yep. So there are tons of options that you can use when it comes to that, that RSS feed that you get again from your host. But with many hosts, you also have built-in options that it will distribute it to several different places. Makojo said, are there any platforms that host both video and podcasts. Yes, there are quote unquote podcasting platforms that do video podcasting as well. Matter of fact, the one we're talking about, Podbean, as a matter of fact, will do video podcasting. So yes, there are technically YouTube, right? You could technically do YouTube. Now, it does not seem to me, and before we move on and talk about distribution, just to open this up to you three on the panel anyway, with audio podcasts versus video podcasts, which do you see consumed more? Because I see the audio side consumed more.
For the longest time, up until about a month or two ago, it would be 3 or 4, sometimes 5 times more audio consumed than video. And now it's probably about 2 or 3 times. You know, my videos of my videos are getting more views, but yeah, for the longest time it was, let's say I would get 250 views on a video, and sometimes I would get 2,000 on that same audio podcast. So I mean, most time it was about 1,000 to 1,200.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, audio, man, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there that listen to podcasts. Well,
there's a couple of things. First of all, you can download it and listen to it later. That's first of all. It's not, you don't have to particularly, you don't have to stream it, right? Like YouTube right now, if you go to YouTube and you watch a video, you're streaming. So you lose signal, you're screwed, right? With a podcast, you can download that podcast and you can listen to it later. You don't even have to be online. That's first of all. Second of all is a lot of people utilize podcasts, and this is why I think video is not quite as popular, at least the podcasting platforms, why video is not as popular. The people that go there to get that podcast, they're driving down the road, right? They're at work and got earbuds in. They can't watch anything. They're not concerned with watching anything. They want to be able to listen to something while they're doing what they're doing. So I think that's why it's not, the video portion is not more popular with podcasting platforms. Budget distribution. Jump in here.
What specifically do you want me to address?
Well, as far as your thoughts on distribution and what you do and where you take things, and you don't have an opinion on it.
Right now, Podbean, and I'm on like Stitcher and Podbean's app and Google Podcasts, and that's really pretty much it right now. I'm thinking that, man, I kind of got lazy with this and didn't get it distributed like I should. So
right.
I'm going to have to rectify that along with my backlog.
There's actually, and I've found mine, I don't know if Clover, if you found the same thing. I mean, I'm on probably 20 or 30 different podcast platforms.
Easily.
But there are some that I didn't know I was on that I didn't have to set up. I found like maybe 10 of them that I didn't have to set up anything. Is Podbean went ahead and just created a page on XYZ site.
Right.
And my podcast is on like 10 different podcast platforms that I never heard of, that I didn't even know that was on there.
I think what happens with a lot of those, Podchaser is one, Hub Hopper, I'm looking now, one called Hub Hopper to Listen Notes. Just going through my media carousel, looking at
like
some
Player
of the
FM platforms. Stuff like
yeah,
that.
Player yeah,
there's
FM.
A bunch of them.
And I think what they do is they've got an agreement or some type of thing with Podbean, perhaps, to where they just automatically pull things over. And you could do that. Like I said, the RSS feed, if you go to Podbean, I think it's Podbean/CloverTac, my RSS feed's right there. So you could essentially take my RSS feed and put it on your website if you wanted to. It's possible to do that. Ghost, you said you had a follow-up. You remember what that was?
Oh, the follow up on Podbean. I wonder, there is, it came out about 6 months ago, not even longer than that, but I noticed it about 6 months ago. You can actually go live on Podbean. It'd be audio form only, but you can actually go live on Podbean also. So that's a new feature they've unleashed in the last year, sometime in the last year.
Rogue distribution. Got anything?
Well, our distribution is a little different for the stuff that I'm involved with or on my day job because it's specifically marketing. So it's not really for everyday consumption. It's, you know, hey, here's this market that we're going after. We'll do an email blast with embedded links and things like that into them. Gotcha. So we're a little different on that because we're not a traditional podcast.
Right. Well, you know, one thing that's a good point, and this is where you do video or audio or whatever you're doing. You bring up a good point, and we talk about, I think we talked about it last week a little bit when we talk about doing certain things and collecting emails to then create an email list to then be able to do newsletter type things or whatever. And you could actually put those RSS feeds or the whatever into those, the same as we were talking about using that RSS feed to go into a web page.
Yeah, because that's totally what we're doing with the, with this type of content. Occasionally, we'll have a YouTube video. The audio portion is actually a PowerPoint presentation, right. And then they'll also strip. You know, when I deliver my audio files, they'll also send that out as an audio podcast as well.
Right. So G23 is out there, and I know he was, he does a lot of live, so I know he seems pretty excited to talk about this topic, so hopefully we see him in the podcast world for before too long. But he says, talking about Clover and Ghost, he said, are either of you on Pandora? And I am on Pandora. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ghost, but that is through Podbean.
Yes, we are on Pandora. Yep.
It took a while. Did it take a while for yours? It took a while for
me. A week or two, something like that. It was longer than the other ones. The other ones usually take about 24 hours, if that. But it took a couple weeks originally.
Right. So the answer to that question, yes, we both are.
I'm going to rectify that shortly.
Right.
That's part of the whole MP3 thing. That
right.
Reason I haven't been able to produce MP3s, but I'm going to be changing that.
Right. So we're going to shift gears, and if any of you out there in the live chat, if we've talked about something you don't understand, let us know. If you're in replay, audio, video, whatever it is, and we went over your head with something, we need to slow it down, we need to back up. I did at the top of the live chat drop my email, media@clovertech.com. Hit me up. If you have any questions, you need follow up, that's fine. We can do that. Or put it out there in the live chat right now, and before we shut down tonight, we'll cover it. So we added one more. Distribution was going to be our stopping point, but then we got to talking and I thought, man, this is something we should probably talk about because a lot of these platforms, podcasting platforms, offer monetization options. Currently I don't have any of those deployed through any of the, either Podbean or whatever it might be. And there's a reason. It's because I used to seek out my own advertising, basically in-house, you could say advertising, for my podcast. And so I never worried about it. It's something I've been wrestling with as we've changed the format of the way that I'm doing these live streams, which eventually do become podcasts. It's something that I'm weighing out. I'm wrestling with trying to figure out, do I want to go with that, you know, platform advertising model, or do I want to go back? There was no shot till 2021, so it's not like I could go try to pick up sponsors, advertisers, things like that during SHOT Show. So maybe with USCCA coming up or something like that, there's an opportunity. But do I want to go with the ad revenue model that most of these are running, or do I want to go with no, like I said, with what I call in-house advertising, me handling that. And you know, you've got a couple of other things. I mean, obviously you've got, you can set up swag stores. You can have fan funding like Patreon or some of these podcasting platforms have, you know, to it, you can enable paid content and things like that, where people actually, it's 99 cents to download the podcast or whatever it might be. Right. So there's a lot of different monetization, I think, options out there. But for me, I don't know, with the podcast, it's just, I don't know, maybe I need to get more serious with the podcast. I was way serious about it and then even more serious. And then it's kind of waned a little bit, I think, lately. And so maybe I need to up my podcasting game. Maybe that's what I need to do. But as far as Revenue Rogue, because you're talking more about the business or the company, is there anything going on there? Are they looking at like lead generation and things like that being the revenue factor?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, all the podcast stuff is really a loss leader for us. Mm-hmm. We want you to listen to this to buy a service.
Right.
And that's where we'll make the money.
Right.
You know, if I give you a free podcast and then you go into an $8,500 engagement with me, that's where the money is.
Yeah. Right. Budget, what about you? Is there anything you've got going with your podcast?
Nope. As far negative. As monetization goes, yep, nope. Zero, zip, zilch, nada. Other than, you know, fan funding via Patreon and whatnot.
Well, but that's for the channel across the board.
Yeah, that's the channel completely. So podcast specific, no.
Right.
My podcast is barely downloaded, dude.
Right.
I don't pimp it like I need to. I don't promote it like I need to. Which is going to be changing shortly, because I'm going to start trying to hit it as a podcast, promote it as a podcast in addition to the live stream, because, you know, a lot of times people are live stream. Well, what's a live stream? But they know what a podcast is.
Right.
So,
well, that's what this is. I mean, this is, you really don't have to mince words. What we're doing right now is a podcast. It's a live stream, sure. It's a live podcast. And then for those that are listening to it in a replay, I mean, it's the definition of a podcast, because you don't have video. If you're on Podbean, if you're on iTunes, if you're on Google, if you're on iHeartRadio, if you're on Stitcher, SoundCloud, good Lord, Pandora, Spotify, whatever, right? Ghost, I'm going to come to you with monetization, but I just remembered something on distribution that applies to you. And that is these networks. So I want you to talk a little bit about distribution in the sense of that, of a network, and then hit on monetization for your podcast.
So the monetization I'll hit on real quick, because it will take no time. I looked into the monetization through Podbean, and I do, and I don't cuss a lot, but I do cuss some during my podcast. And obviously some of my guests have been known to cuss quite a bit in my podcast, depending on who the guests are. But that's cool. I don't care, because I cuss in my own podcast. So I set my podcast through Podbean as explicit, just because, for that reason. Unfortunately, if you try to monetize while with an explicit podcast, if you're able to get monetization, it is a fraction of what it normally would be. So I just turn monetization off, because I would much rather be truthful up front and say, hey, you're probably going to hear some words that you may or may not like. So I want to go ahead and make it explicit, even though it may not be, that particular episode may not be. Across the board, my podcast is an explicit podcast. Therefore, there's no reason to monetize it, so I don't do that. Now, as far as a network, yeah, I'm very happy to be part of the Self-Defense Radio Network. And the great thing about that network is there's, I don't know, 13, 14, 15, somewhere, 16, I don't remember. There's a bunch of pro-gun, they call pro-freedom podcasts on that network. And ultimately, the great thing about a network is you promote each other. And the great thing about it, there are a couple people that are on that podcast that are nationally syndicated and actually on radio, like actual radio waves, and they promote the network. So you're able to basically share each other's information or promote each other. And it all works for each other to promote the network. But if you go to that network, you get an idea of all the different podcasts. Mm-hmm. What I like about it is it's not like a network where they can just put anything on there. You've got to go through a screening process. They have a board that you have to be approved by, and they only want like pro gun, pro freedom podcasts. It's not like you're going to get, you know, a cornucopia of weird podcasts out there. There right. are networks that do that. But if you're looking for a niche specific network, it is not a bad idea to really kind of promote from within and all that. So if you have a podcast and you're willing and you're wanting to be part of a network, get a hold of me, and I can kind of, at least for the Self-Defense Radio Network, I can kind of get in and tell you how to get into that. I like the idea because you're promoting not just your podcast, you're not promoting just other people's podcasts, you're promoting a lifestyle, a community within itself, and a niche of a podcast. So like I said, the one I'm in is not going to have hairstyles and gaming and all that. It's strictly firearm related podcast, which I like. So that's kind right. of why I decided to join in.
Well, and on that side of it, whether you're talking about networks or whether you're talking about, we talked about distribution earlier and how, yes, Podbean, if you go with that as your host, offers some built-in distribution. And then so does Anchor and so does a lot of the other ones. But then there's other podcasting platforms you can submit that RSS feed to get on that platform. And right. whether you're looking at a network or you're looking at, there's still that application process. And one of the things that they all pay attention to is how many podcasts you have out there, how many you have under your belt, how many you've done. So we always talk about turning on that camera, turning on that microphone, just crank them out, get them done, crank them out, worry about that right off the bat, worry about getting the content, you know, out there in the world. And then once you've got, you know, 10, 20, 30, 100 under your belt, you know, at that point, then start looking at, obviously you've honed your craft. Maybe you've upgraded your equipment. You've restructured your format. You've gotten more comfortable on the microphone, just as you would if you're a video content producer. You've gotten better at that craft. And then so when you submit that feed or whatever, like I said, be it a network, be it a distribution point through another podcasting site, whatever, you know, they go back and they start looking through that. And first of all, you've got a pretty big catalog. They're not going to listen to every single episode. Let's be realistic, but they're going to go back through the last probably two or three and pick and choose and listen to a few minutes probably. And so I think it just will bode a lot well for you. So, you know, baby steps, like we talked about with the equipment, the software, the hosting, the distribution, the monetization, just work your way through everything we talked about, slowly but surely. Learn the art of podcasting, learn how to tweak it and tailor it for your style and you know, your niche may not even be firearm related, right? Whatever that you're wanting to do out there to get your stuff out in the world. Just slow and steady. What do they say? Slow is smooth, smooth is fast, right?
That's what they said. Hey, do you mind if I bring something up real quick?
No, go ahead.
I don't want to go down a rabbit hole, but this is something that I was talking with Yehuda about yesterday, and that's kind of where all this came about. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to start a podcast, I'm saying do it, do it, do it. Podcasting is becoming a huge, huge market out there.
We had like 300% growth or 3,000% growth, maybe. I don't even remember. It was crazy.
Oh, it was like crazy. Last year. Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. But the one thing that I would suggest doing, this is just a suggestion, is if you're going to do a podcast and you're going to put it out on Podbean, which means you're going to put it out on maybe 30 other different platforms, when you get your first podcast done, don't release it right then. I suggest you doing about 3 or 4 of them. And then releasing all of them at the same time. Because the last thing you want to have, especially if you do like a weekly podcast, you put your very first one out there and people like it. Then they have to wait another week for the next one to come out. They probably are going to forget about it. But if you release like 3 of them and they can listen to 3 right off the bat, now you've got them hooked. Then they're more willing to wait that week for the next one. I would suggest really honestly putting up three of them initially, and don't get bogged down with a time limit. If you're trying to do an hour-long podcast, some people just can't do it for an hour. If your conversation ends, it's a good conversation, but it kind of starts fizzling at about 20, 25 minutes, then guess what? You do a 20, 25-minute podcast. The next week might be an hour and a half. So don't get bogged down on a time limit either. Sorry about that.
No, I would say set yourself with a set yourself with a maximum is what I would do. And then, but don't be afraid. That way you've got a goal and you're going to get good at watching the clock, right? As you do podcasting, and you're going to do good at moving the conversation forward. If it's an interview style thing, just like tonight, I had my notes. We talked about equipment, software, hosting, distribution, monetization, right? And so, bam, we hit those. We ran through the stack. I pretty much knew, about how it was going to go. And I would add to that and say not only have 2, 3, 4 episodes, bam, right at first, but also stack a few. That way you don't miss a week. Let's say you're sick. Let's say you have equipment that fails on you. Let's say that whatever the case may be, right? Have a couple at least a couple in the bank. If you're doing weekly podcasts, have at least a couple in the bank and don't use those. Don't get a couple in the bank and then go, oh, well, I can slack off and goof off for a couple of weeks. Don't use them for that purpose. Have a couple in the bank, but rotate them, right?
But don't make them time-sensitive either. Make them to where they're relative to right now, because you might not use them for 3 months.
Right. And they don't have to be, but you could. What I was saying is they can be somewhat time-sensitive. You would just rotate them, right? So, in other words, let's say I've got 2 in the bank, right? And for some reason, I can't do this, right? And so always do one fresh, right? So like I've got 2 in the bank. So record a third one for the bank and then release. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and record that next episode, but then release one from the bank. And then let that one sit in the bank for maybe a couple of weeks. So it's just management. It's just learning how to rotate that content in and out. But having that buffer, it's going to take a lot of the pressure off. And like I said, especially if you have equipment that fails on you. Swamp Dog Armory Ghost was saying, is that the 7.1 surround gaming headset from Black Web?
The one that I'm using right now I'm using earbuds. But the one, hold on, I can go into my office real quick and I can tell you which model it is. But no, the ones that I'm using right now are just their Beats earbuds, Bluetooth earbuds. But my headset is a Black Web. And for the life of me, I don't see a model on here anywhere at all. I turn my camera on real quick, and that's what they look like. They're just Black Web.
What's up with red and headsets? I don't know. Mine
are orange.
Oh, are they?
It's orange. Yeah, I'm in here in my office, it's orange.
Are yours orange or red, Budget? You're muted. Still muted.
Red.
There you go. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, mine are red too. And I noticed a lot of them seem to be that way. I don't know why. So, is it.
Black and red.
I think we covered it. Again, if you're out there in the live chat at the top, media@clovertech.com. If you got follow up, if you need help, hit us up. Hit up anybody on the panel, honestly, from Rogue to Budget to Ghost to myself. If you're in replay, wherever you might be in replay, comments are below. Hopefully I get that notification. But again, media@clovertech.com gets you straight through, if you need help or whatever. So I am going to, it's been fairly quiet. Y'all have been a fairly quiet, fairly clean crowd tonight. Not a whole lot of cleaning up to do, but I am going to clean up. And while I'm doing that, going to let the panel go through and give us some final thoughts on podcasting made easy or start your podcast today or whatever the title. I don't forgot what it was for tonight. And then also plugs and things going on in your channel, whatever else Budget, we'll kick it off with you, man. Take it over.
I'm Mike from Budget Guns and Gear Reviews. You can catch me on YouTube at Budget Guns and Gear Reviews. I do a live stream / podcast every Friday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern called The Right of the People. It's where we use the first to defend the second. We talk about Second Amendment-related politics, news, and current events. I also do produce content, videos, gun reviews, et cetera, et cetera. Write for gear-report.com, my own website, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, et cetera, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. You're everywhere.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Except well, Reddit. I stay away from Reddit. I learned from this guy.
Right. Correct. I think we all did. Papa out there, he says, I do fall into that trap. On YouTube, download, set up 3 to 4 weeks to post weekly, then take 3 or 4 weeks off. He needs to stop that. Yeah. Taking 1 week off is fine. It's taking an entire time off. And I'm going to talk about that before we close out tonight with some stuff I got coming up. Rogue, you're up, man. Final thoughts and plugs.
You know, we've said it so many times, just doing the YouTube stuff, just turn your cameras on. If you want to do a podcast, do one. You know, just start working at it, and it's not going to be any different than starting a YouTube channel. You're going to have some rough bumps in the beginning, but that's everybody goes through it. So just get through it and start enjoying creating content. For me, you can reach me just about any platform. Just search the Rogue Banshee. We have a YouTube channel, Gunstreamer, Full 30. We have Instagram and all kinds of stuff. And I also, like Mike and everybody else actually on the panel, write for Gear Report. And I just had an article drop today on the Mantis Blackbeard.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Ghost.
Yeah, I think podcasting, I really enjoy it. I do. And I don't do a lot of the produced podcasts very often. I like doing mine live. And that just gives me the interaction with that live audience, especially when you have guests on. Having those live questions right there are fun. But you don't have to. If you're not comfortable being in front of a camera, the great thing about a produced podcast is you can take as many takes as you want. And you can just edit it until it sounds like it was done in one take. And so that's the great thing about audio. There's no visual with it. Have fun with it. And start out, if you want to start out, just doing like 5-10 minute little quick podcasts and just kind of get used to being behind the microphone. If you need any help, like I said, call me, Clover, Rogue, Budget. I mean, we're all here to help. So, yeah, just have fun with it. But most importantly, that's just another pro gun, pro firearm media outlet out there that we need to, we talk about YouTube all the time. But a lot of people do listen to podcasts, and we can just get more pro-gun, pro-2A, pro-freedom podcasts out there. That's just going to flood the internet more on search results. So, yeah, go ahead and do that. And like I said, I'm a new proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network, so go check out all those podcasts. Selfdefenseradio.net. And, you know, there's some good ones out there. Obviously, Gun Freedom Radio with Cheryl Todd. You've got the Polite Society podcast. You've got Eye on the Target. You've got Riding Shotgun with Charlie, Locked and Loaded Latinos. I think Sandy's on there. The Get Off My Lawn. There's a bunch of them. And it's just a great group of people that are supportive and all that. So if you're interested in getting in that, let me know, because we have our own private little group. And it's amazing how supportive everyone is. And hey, you know, let's make sure that we're promoting everybody's podcast. So if you're looking to get into a network, that might be a good thing as well. So thanks for having me.
You bet. Going to what Papa has said out there, some things that we talked is time management. So one thing that I've been doing over the last week, and if you are a YouTube channel member, thank you, by the way, for those people that are. If you see the people out in the chat with the hearts by their name or some other little emoji, or maybe their name's in green, those are channel members here on YouTube, and thank you for that. And also the Patreon patrons, most of the folks out in the chat that have the blue name with the wrench are probably Patreon patrons. Those folks already kind of know, because they get early release and behind the scenes of what's going on. So they've seen some of the videos that I've been getting produced, getting stacked up. Yes, DJ's out there playing with the custom emojis for the channel members. But Yeah, I've been stacking videos up and trying to build that bank. And there's a reason for that. It's time management. And so at the same time, I've been sort of getting my queue. I also write, as everybody here on the panel does, write for gear-report.com. So the next step, once I get a set amount of videos banked for YouTube or all of the other video platforms that I am on, once I get all of those banked, my intention is to move to then the written review stuff over on gear-report.com and get those. Good Lord, in a week, I could easily bank 8 or 10 probably written reviews and get those knocked out. Again, time management, right? So bank a bunch of videos, take a week off from YouTube, do that. My goal, especially after tonight, because the CloverTac podcast, which used to sort of be the Firearm Friday stuff, it was more interview format. I do need to get that kick back off and get that going again, where we're talking to industry, we're talking to 2A, that sort of thing. So I think my next goal in light of time management is maybe stack YouTube up for a couple of weeks, stack Gear Report up for a month, you know, or two or six, and then just kind of alternate that out. Gear-report, a written review, not that demanding, not nearly as demanding as editing video and stuff. So maybe once I get that, then I can work on banking some of those podcasts to go along with the lounge on Monday night and, of course, the studio here. Another thing that I've been working on is, and I'm going to throw the link out there, and for those that might be in replay or whatever, clovertac.com/shop. One of the things is, we're talking about monetization, is, you know, having mechanisms where people may not want to become a patron. They may not want to become a channel member or whatever. They may not want that recurring thing, but they do want to help out. Super chats are one way people can do that here on YouTube, but then YouTube takes a big chunk of that money. If, you know, you have a creator and you follow them and they have a place like clovertac.com/shop and they have swag and gear and different things there, then, you know, you can go over there and pick up something for $5 or $10 or whatever that helps that be the same as if you super chatted, except for the fact that you're going to get something for it. You're going to get something in return, right? And so I've been working on, with the lack of SHOT Show, where we pick up a lot of swag and stuff. I've got a new patch design coming soon. So keep tabs on the store over there for that. All kinds of stickers, because I usually pick up a boatload of stickers through SHOT Show. That didn't happen. So I thought, crap, this gives me the opportunity to be creative and come up with my own sticker designs and stuff. So we're working on that. And as far as the sticker designs, I'm going to throw this out there to those that are listening. If you have a cool design, something that you'd like to see, and you thought, hey, this would be funny or this would be cool or whatever, and you don't have a channel and you don't want to do that, or you don't have a website and you don't want to do that, let me know and we can possibly work together on some of those ideas. I'm always up for that sort of thing. So that's goes hand in hand with what Papa out there was talking about with time management. And of course, what we talked about here with getting this podcast and things out. So with that, we are gone. We will hopefully have a video release probably Friday. Thinking I'm moving. Usually Tuesday I do a video release. Probably we'll do it Friday, because weekends aren't working out quite so well right now. Not sure why. I think people are out and about and doing things on the weekend. So yeah, probably Friday will be that. And then we'll see you, of course, again on Monday for the lounge. Until next week, next Thursday, 8 Central, 9 Eastern. Everybody, stay nerdy.